Tonight, I did not want to go into the I Am series. I studied for it yesterday and was headed that way. But by the end of the evening, the Lord prompted me to put that off until next Wednesday. We're pretty much through the first half of the book of John. And so now we've got the second half to go to. So I'm going to pick that back up next week on the I Am series and the study of the Gospel of John. Tonight is just, we're going to stick with the theme of the week. And of course, you see the title of the message there, and that is freedom. I'm so grateful to be a part of a nation where we can live as free citizens, amen, where we can worship the Lord. First and foremost, my priority is to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But I'm very grateful and very patriotic to be a part of the United States of America. My heart hurts for where we're at right now, even though I still believe we're the greatest nation on the planet. My heart hurts for all of the turmoil in which we have going on amongst us. And I do believe there needs to be a strong spiritual awakening and a spiritual revival and the move of God in our nation. And so I pray that we can be a part of that. So tonight I'm going to stick with that theme of freedom. And if you would, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we are so grateful to be in the house of God this evening, to be able to stand here and present the word of God, living and active, God, in our lives. Father, we thank you, God, for all of our church family that is here throughout this entire campus. Father, from our babies to our children to our students, our bridge builders, and every adult that's in the sanctuary. Father, this is a significant night because the doors are open, the church is here, and Father, you have a plan and purpose for us tonight. So I pray this body before me, God, they have just fertile soil in their hearts. They're ready to receive, and God, ready to move to a place of prayer, a place of intercession. Father, Lord, may you move tonight and have your way. Your anointing be upon everything that is spoken. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Well, just for a moment, let me go down history lane here with you. On April the 19th in 1775, the first shots of the American Revolution rang out at the battles of Lexington in Concord. On July the 4th, 1776, the Continental Congress voted to adopt and sign the Declaration of Independence. After 5 years of epic battles and shifts in momentum, just going back and forth from one battle to the next, on October the 19th, 1781, at the Battle of Yorktown, the British Army officially surrendered. Now, although this was a very triumphal battle that led to winning the war, it would not be until September the 3rd, 1783, that Great Britain formally recognized the independence of the United States in a Treaty of Paris. Now, so after 8 years of fighting, 7 years after the Declaration of Independence was signed, the war was officially over, and freedom reigned throughout the United States of America. Now, in all, approximately 70,000 lives were lost. About 24,000 were American, over 6,000 on the battlefield, with the majority of people dying of disease and being prisoners of war. Now, 80 years, just 80 years after Great Britain's surrender, April the 12th, 1861, America found itself in a very difficult place. As a shell launched by the Confederacy, it exploded above Fort Sumter, South Carolina. It was the first shot fired in what we know as the American Civil War. 2 years later, the bloodiest battle of the American Civil War would be fought. We know it as the Battle of Gettysburg, including the dead, the wounded, and the missing. There were over 51,000 casualties in that battle. The Battle of Gettysburg began on July the 1st, 1863, and it ended on July the 3rd, 1863, so just 3 days. So from this day, July the 3rd, 156 years ago, the Battle of Gettysburg was ended. Kind of let that sink in a minute. You know, 156 years ago, our nation just ended a battle where there were 51,000 casualties here on American soil. Total American Civil War casualties, 1,030,000, which 620,000 were deaths. This number makes up almost half of all Americans who have died in all the other American wars combined. Isn't that crazy? I did not know that until I did a little bit of research on that today. World War II, 1941 to 1946 would be the next, and it had total deaths of over 400,000, which it was the second war as far as the most casualties that would take place. Now, that's just a little bit of our history, because you in here know tonight that we've been in many conflicts, that we've been many wars in our existence. Freedom, as we all know, it is certainly not free. It comes with a price. Now, I believe there are many in this generation, and I'm trying not to be judgmental, but I just believe in my heart, there are many in this generation, they don't understand the price of freedom. They don't understand what it takes to live in the manner in which we do here in the United States of America. I mean, if their cell phone breaks, they think all hell is broken loose and that everything's just going to pot. They have no clue what it is, the cost of freedom. I ask you tonight, is freedom worth a fight? I know what you're going to say. Absolutely. Absolutely it's worth a fight. Ronald Reagan said this, freedom is never more than one generation from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. That's a pretty powerful quote. Church, I believe to live in any other way than living in freedom would be simply existing. And I believe we were created much more than that. I think to myself as I think about these historical times, what a moment it must have been on July the 4th, 1776, when Congress declared freedom for the United States of America. Or what about when Robert E. Lee, he surrendered to Ulysses S. Grant at Appomattox Courthouse on April the 9th, 1865. Or when the Japanese surrendered on board the USS Missouri battleship. It was an early Sunday morning on September the 2nd, 1945. I will tell you, when those surrenders took place, celebration was in full swing, and rightly so. On the eve of our nation's 4th of July celebration, as we're gathered here in God's house tonight, may we not only remember our nation's freedom, but the greatest freedom of all, and that is the freedom that you and I have in Jesus Christ. You see, declaring freedom as a citizen of the U.S., that's one thing that I'm greatly proud of. I mean, I am very proud that we can, you know, pop our fireworks and have our hamburgers and our hot dogs and have our family and, you know, take off from work for a day or so and just really enjoy, you know, the freedom that our nation has. That's one thing, but declaring freedom as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, that's something completely different. That's on a whole new level. There's no better life of freedom than living in and for Jesus Christ. There is nothing more fulfilling than living for Jesus. For every individual out there that hasn't done so yet, I pray that they will discover what it is to live a full life, and that is only found in Jesus Christ. It's the most liberating freedom a person can experience, experiencing it through the love and grace of Jesus Christ. So as we celebrate freedom all weekend long, my prayer is that each of us, not only you here, but all of our church family, would choose and experience a daily life of true freedom as they follow Jesus Christ. Now, when we really think about freedom as a believer in Christ, the most hallowed words of freedom are given to us in Scripture. It is through God's Word where a declaration of freedom is given for all who choose to believe it and accept its truth. There are many passages. Let me give you a handful of them here tonight. Psalm chapter 146, just verses 5 through 8, each one of these, the entire chapter, I encourage you to go back and read them together. I'm just going to pull some snapshots here tonight. Psalm 146, verse 5 says, "Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous." And who are those? Those who are found in Jesus Christ. Amen. Then you go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 42, and we take a snapshot of that chapter. We look at verse number 5, and it says, "Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and I will keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeons, from prisons, those who sit in darkness." Speaking of the new covenant to come that would be found in Jesus Christ. We see Jesus pulling from this in his own words, Luke chapter 4, verse 18. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor." Who is the poor? Everyone that needed to hear the gospel, which was everybody. He came to proclaim the good news. "He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Thank God for the declaration that we find in Jesus Christ. Then many of us, we heard it on Sunday. We've seen it in our series. John chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son has set you free, you will be free indeed." You go on over into Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse number 2, it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." You go through the book of Romans and you're going to find the freedom that you have in Jesus Christ. You're not under any condemnation, but you are found forgiven. You are found righteous. You are holy in God's eyes, all because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. We are truly set free and liberated in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. "But whenever someone turns to the Lord, that veil is taken away." Paul has taken them, given them that imagery of Moses and the tabernacle and the temple. And he says, "But whenever someone turns to the Lord, that veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is," what does the scripture say? "There is freedom." And if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, church, where is the Spirit of the Lord? It's inside of you. So if the Spirit of the Lord is inside of you, then you truly are walking in freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, he makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. His standards, his holiness, his purity, his righteousness, all the goodness about him, we are being transformed. We are being changed inside. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord is inside of us. And he's broken us free from all the bondage that was holding us back to be like our Creator. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery, to a bondage of sin, to a bondage." Why would you do that? Because in Christ, you are set free. Why would you want to turn and go back to that? Why would you want that to hover over your life? Why would you want to think that can even exist in your life? Because in Christ, you have been set free. Man, thank God for such liberation. Christ has secured and declared freedom over all our lives by giving and sacrificing his life upon the cross. What a moment, church, that we have tonight as we gather to worship, as we gather to pray, as we gather to intercede. I believe it's time for every believer to wake up and just say to themselves, "I believe, I accept, and I declare freedom over our lives." Amen. Every Christian needs to start declaring freedom over their lives. Every believer, I mean, there are many, many Christian homes who walk in this spirit of oppression, who walk in this spirit of darkness, who walk in this spirit of chaos, who have this constant bickering and strife among them. Can I tell you, that is not of God. That's not of Jesus Christ. And it shouldn't even be there, because in Christ, you have been set free from all of that. So it's time to start declaring it with our words and to start allowing that just to really take over who we are, to change our homes and to change what's taking place within our families. Amen. Because in Christ, I've got my list here. You can help me out. In Christ, we're free from being a slave to sin. Quit running back to sin. I mean, just picture this. Pastor Jackie, I should have had you do that tonight. She did a great illustration on Sunday where she took a big heavy chain, one of the kids, and she had him up front. She put the chain around him, and she put this big old lock around him. And she talked about how, you know, sin is a bondage. And then, of course, at the end of that, through Christ and in Christ, you know what happens? He's got the key to set you free. And so that chain come down. She said when they did that, she wasn't sure what the kids were going to do, but they all started cheering and hollering. I'm like, praise God, the children got it, that in Christ, all those chains, you're free, right? We should have had you do that. That would have been pretty awesome. You could have chained up Jason, and Jason, you could have broke free tonight. Amen. We're free from being a slave to sin. Some of us still walk in it like we haven't been set free. And the chains are broke, but for some reason, we're holding on to them. We're letting them latch on to us. They're free. Walk away from them. Let them sit there in a pile and just take off and walk in the freedom that Christ has given you. Freedom from being manipulated by our adversary. Freedom from being held down by any past mistakes and failures. Let's face it, we all have a story of mistakes and failures. Let's not give it any more glory. Let's walk away from it and walk in the freedom of Jesus Christ. Freedom from being trapped in just an unending cycle of generational addictions. You just see it in families. The same thing over and over and over. One addiction after a next. You know, you see alcoholism stay within a family. Meth stay within a family. Drug use stay within a family. Oppression stay within a family. You just see a lot of things latch on. Let's break free from that in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's let our children wake up and live in something different than all this heaviness that's been placed upon them. Amen. Being free from being shaped mentally and physically by any type of alcohol or any type of source such as that. Being reliant upon pain medication to just get you to the next moment. Let's be free from that. Free from being sexually oppressed by some type of addiction to pornography. Free from being divisive and a fuel to tension and strife by being constantly involved with unnecessary drama. Come on, church, let's shake away from the unnecessary drama in our lives, amen? In our homes and in our families. Let's start thinking before we speak. Matter of fact, let's start praying before we think, and then maybe when we think, then we'll be able to speak with a clear mind, amen? Instead of speaking and then praying, why don't we wake up praying and then we will speak? Amen. Let's change the way we're living. Let's change the way we're presenting ourselves. Let's change the way that we live this life by being transformed in the image of Christ. Being free from being a gossip. Let's quit making up excuses of why we have the right to be a gossip. Let's drop that. Let's be free from that. Let's be free from being a self-righteous slander or being a constant negative influence and having that critical spirit. None of that's of God. Freedom from living with the greed and the love of money, walking in anger or hatred and unforgiveness, or having a broken marriage, or harboring a divided home, or living with a victim mentality. A lot of people live with a victim mentality. There's a lot of believers who live with a victim mentality. Come on, that ain't anything in Jesus Christ. Amen. We are more than conquerors. We are set free in the name of Jesus. Freedom from allowing sickness to suppress your faith and keep you down. Freedom from living in any type of fear or worry or anxiety or any type of self-defeat. Freedom from living without purpose, without vision, and without drive. From your own self-imposed limitations or letting someone else's wrongdoings and attitude control your today and your tomorrow. Never take ownership of what someone did or did not do to you. Right? Never do that. Live in the freedom of Jesus Christ. Now, that's just my little list that I've put together. We could go around here tonight and say, okay, hey, what has Christ set you free from? Some of your answers are going to be the same, but there are multiple things because in Christ, there's nothing that can hold us back from loving and worshiping our God and experiencing all that he has for us in our lives. I would say to you tonight, how about it? Are you ready to declare freedom in and through and over your life? Are you ready to declare freedom over your family and over every circumstance that is trying to hold you down? There are way too many circumstances that are holding our people back. Way too many doubts and fears that are holding our people back. I pray when we go to prayer tonight that not only do you intercede for your life and for your family, intercede on behalf of this church, that we rise up with a spiritual awakening that transforms who we are, that spills out into the streets of this community. Amen. I mean, more than just coming to church and enjoying the presence with one another, because I love that. More than just us, you know, getting together and having a wonderful time, just like we did Sunday night. And thank you for every single person. Such a beautiful job from every staff member to every pastor to every ministry leader to every deacon to every volunteer. Just an incredible night, you know, on Sunday night. I thank God for those moments. But more than that, a spiritual awakening that spurs the gifts of God inside of us that helps us to want to daily boldly proclaim who Jesus is, and people seeing that, their lives being changed. What am I hungry for? There's a lot of people that need Jesus. You know, many times when I go on vacation, I just a people watcher. You got how many people watchers are in here? And without judging, just watching people. And there's so many different things. I mean, I guess there are some judgmental times because I'm thinking to myself, how in the world did that guy get with her? You know what I mean? And then I'm thinking, oh, they're saying the same thing about me, right? And so, or vice versa. And I'm like, wow, that is a unique individual right there. But then I really stop, and maybe I shouldn't do this. I start thinking to myself, I wonder how many of these people know Jesus. I wonder how many people really understand who Jesus is, who desires to be the Lord and Savior of their life. There are millions of people daily walking around without the hope of Jesus. And there are thousands of people who live right here who are walking around without the hope of Jesus. They may have heard. They may have even been in church. Maybe they were even burned by church. But none of that matters. What matters is they still need a Savior. And may we as a church, may we boldly proclaim that. May we rise up and say, we don't want to live in any type of bondage. We don't want to be held down by anything. We don't just want to be a status quo church. We don't want to just be individuals that keeps it all to ourselves. We want to break free. We want to live free, and we want others to hear that same message. We want to believe it and declare it and fight for it and walk in it and embrace it and never let go of it. Amen? When it comes to freedom, that's what we desire to do. You know, just walking in freedom daily, there's great scriptures. I'll give you a few of those. Psalms 119:45 says, and I shall walk in a wide place, for I've sought your precepts. The NLT helps us understand that wide place a little bit more, meaning I will walk in freedom, nothing holding me back, for I've devoted myself to your commandments. I've devoted myself to your word. John chapter 8 again, verse 31, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And if you will know that truth, the truth of my word, what I speak to you, what I prophesy into you, what I give you, the holy word in which you will have within your hands, if you will abide by that, if that'll be a part of your life, if you will have your mind on it, if you will have your prayers in it, if you will learn it, if you'll have it deep within your soul, if you'll memorize that scripture, if you'll be able to start daily applying it, if you will abide in that word, you will truly live in freedom. Think about that. You have been given an incredible gift by God's mercy and love that he pours out upon you daily. You have been given a truth that'll help you walk in freedom. In other words, no circumstance in life will ever be able to overcome the truth that has been placed inside of you. No deception, no thoughts of worry or no thoughts of anxiety should ever override what Christ is doing inside of our lives. If we are abiding, truly abiding in his word, we can rise up no matter what it is, what we face. If we are abiding in his word, we can have a healthy marriage. If we are abiding in his word, we can have healthy finances. If we are abiding in his word, we can have healthy rest and healthy time, and we can know how to use the gifts that God has given us. We will have healthy relationships and healthy conversations. We'll know how to prioritize what God has given us each and every day. If we abide in his word, we will walk in wide places every single day of our life. How can an individual who has so many heavy burdens upon them still have a joy inside of them, still have a smile upon their face, still be able to worship the Lord with such fervor and passion? How can they do that if they have so much heaviness upon them? Because they abide in the truth of what Jesus has placed inside of their lives. Never underestimate the truth that you have before you and how you can apply that in your life every single day. The Mrs. Pastor Michelle, she's constantly teaching us God's word, how to pray God's word over our life. It is so significant to be able to learn how to do that as believers. And can I tell you, the more you put it off, the more you're holding back the places that God wants to take you. Why wait 20 years from now and say, oh, I'm finally waking up to what that means? Start tonight and say, I'm going to get in God's word like never before, because the more I abide in it, the more truth I have and the more freedom I will experience. Amen. There's a lot to this. I wrote the question here down. Do you know what you really have as you sit there tonight? Do you really understand the freedom that you have been given in Jesus Christ? You go to Ephesians chapter 3, Paul's writing to the church there. Verse number 12, he says, because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. When you look up that word boldly, it really means that you can come freely into his presence and you can freely speak and you can just pour out your heart to him. Think about that here for a moment. You don't need anybody else, a pastor, a priest, anybody to go into the very throne room of God. Every single time you pray, you're being ushered in to a holy communication with God. And you have the freedom to be there. And you have the freedom to speak your mind. You have the freedom to tell God your hurts, to tell him your joys, to present your need and your request and your intercession. And you just got to remember, he has the freedom to speak back into you. And he has the freedom to challenge you, to change you, to correct you, to transform you, to encourage you, to do whatever he feels necessary. As long as you have that type of communication with God, those wide places are going to just get wider. Amen. Do you understand, church? Because of who you are in Christ, your prayers are not of this world. Your prayers are way beyond the sanctuary. Your prayers are way beyond your war room, your closet, one of my favorite places, my truck. My prayers are way beyond that realm. My prayers are in the very supernatural, in a place that exists that's beyond our ability to see right now. In a place that we only have this longing and hope for, in a place that truly is our home. We have the freedom to go there at any moment, at any time, because of what Christ has done in our lives. Church, do you really understand the freedom that you have in Jesus? Do you understand the freedom that you have over that sin and all the stuff that's trying to hold you back? All of that strife in your life, all of that junk of this world, you have the freedom inside of you to walk away from all of that and live the way Christ would have you live. Now, yes, we're a part of this world, but we're not of it, right? So we're a part of the strife. We're a part of what's going on, and God uses us to be an answer and to be a voice and to be a part of all of that, but we don't have to allow that control who we are, because our freedom is found in Christ. We can confidently go to the very throne room of God this evening with our prayers. We can speak freely from our heart. And I have no doubt that God will listen and God will minister to our lives. I pray that we can understand the freedom that we have in Christ. But as I was wrapping up my thoughts for the message tonight, I actually went back to the quote of Ronald Reagan, our 40th president. I went back to that quote, and it just really resonated within me. And this is a quote that I've used multiple times, and it's one that speaks to me each time. But today, that first line, freedom is never more than one generation from extinction. Now I know that God's word is going to prevail, and it is eternal. It will forever live. I know that. Everything else will fade away. Scripture tells that. God's word is eternal. But I think of it like this: may we not be one generation away from falling further away from the true freedom that's found in Christ. But instead, may we be the generation that is a catalyst that propels the generations below us to really launch into just a spiritual awakening. You see, I'm concerned for the generations, the younger generations. I'm concerned that the older generation's getting tired and getting put out with this world. I'm getting concerned that the older generation is almost going silent. They'd rather stay in their homes, not get out and about, not really rub shoulders with the world because they're sick of this world. Rightly so, we get sick of some of the stuff that goes on, right? I get concerned that as believers, we love church. We love being with one another. We love being with one another. Man, when Pastor Austin, as soon as he gets on the stage, we are ready to go there with him. We love to worship. We love this moment. We're following what the Word of God tells us to do. We're not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We're getting together. We're spurring each other on. We're worshiping the Lord. We're encouraging each other. This is a feel-good moment. Coming to church ought to be a feel-good moment, right? Now, there are times when the preacher is going to preach the truth and it may not feel so good, but even in correction, it is still a feel-good moment as your eyes are being opened to what God wants you to do, right? Even under the greatest conviction in church, you ought to feel good about what God is doing to you, because if you're even getting convicted, at least you still hear his voice. You're not so far away that you can't even hear the correction that he's given you. So even in that, there is grace. So yes, coming in here Wednesday, Sundays, our events and all we do, I am so grateful for all of that. But if we don't watch out, if this is all we do and we get tired of really what Christ has called us to do in reaching our world, we're going to see a generation below us get further away from the truth. For quite some time, if we just look at history, each generation coming up underneath us is walking a little bit further away from the truth of who God is and the truth of his word. Many believers today take issue with the truth of God's word. They don't want to apply the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1. They don't want to apply those scriptures that talk very specific about who inherits the kingdom of heaven and who will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. They don't even want to talk about Satan and him being in existence, because even to them, he's even sounding more cartoonish than really the evil individual, the evil being in which he is that we believe in. Now hear your pastor's heart. If we're not careful, we can maybe get tired, or we can maybe not even on purpose kind of get closed in a little bit. And we're not doing what God has purposed in our hearts to do, and that's to boldly proclaim the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. More than ever, the community of Coweta needs to hear the gospel of Jesus. Our children, our families, our schools, our homes, they need to hear the gospel. Every community around us, the communities that you represent tonight, they need to hear the gospel. The church has to rise up and be that beacon of light. We have to be that hope, because we're the ones who have been given the mandate to say, this is who Jesus is. Amen. I know it's a big challenge to a very small group of individuals here, and man, you're the choir, right? You're here on July the 3rd, and you're with your pastor tonight. But hear my heart. Now's not the time to sit back. Now's the time to keep pushing forward, right? Man, I was so moved. If you were here on Sunday morning, Pastor Jose, I love listening to Pastor Jose. Sometimes I kind of wish I had an accent like his, because you have to listen to every word that he says in order to get it right. If not, you're going to miss what he was saying. I was getting tickled with some of the words. After the end, there was one word he could not say. Refugee, I think is what he was trying to say. Or fugitive. Fugitive, that's what it was. His wife was trying to pronounce it. I was sitting right beside her. I had no idea what she was trying to say. I was trying to help her. He came up to me after service. He goes, Pastor, I am so sorry that I got that word wrong. I said, Pastor Jose, I was going to say something because I didn't want to offend anybody, so I didn't. I said, every single week I make up new words while I'm preaching and the church goes with me and I don't have an excuse. You know what I'm talking about, right? I get to going. I mean, I'm only an hour and a half born from here. You're from a completely different country, okay? So you messing up a few words is no big deal at all. And so we kind of laughed at that together. But I loved his passion that he had. especially when he was talking about that awakening and that spiritual revival. Man, right then and there, my spirit was connecting with his. And I say, Lord, man, I long for that. I don't know what that looks like. I'm not longing for a revival of old. That's not what I'm longing for. I'm just longing for a spiritual awakening for today. A modern move of God that's going to wake up individuals to see the truth. So that veil that's been placed in front of them will be removed so they can have that freedom in Christ. It is the only way an individual is truly going to be liberated. And that is when they come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. May we be a catalyst that helps individuals do that. I'm so thankful for Pastor Matthew. Hopefully in a few weeks, you'll get to hear him and hear his heart. He's just getting started, but already the parents and the teenagers, they're just connecting to him like glue because he has such a passion for the Lord. Man, I'm believing that in our students, there is going to be an awesome move of God that breaks out into our schools. I believe that. I believe that in this community, people will be talking about what God is doing. I believe that in my heart. May that come. Amen. May that come. May we not see another generation slip a little bit further away. Tonight, I know you got big plans tomorrow and the next day, and it's beautiful tonight, and you're going to go home and enjoy the rest of it. But before you do, can you spend some time in some fervent prayer saying, God, we are ready for another outpouring of your Holy Spirit. We are ready for a move where people are being set free. They are being saved. They're being set free from addictions, where they're leaving, I don't know, maybe it is a little bit old school, but they're leaving things at the altar that they've been holding on to. They're walking away from, you know, prescribed painkillers. They're walking away from, you know, the drugs and all the other stuff that they're taking into their lives to kind of set them at peace. May they find their peace in Jesus. Seeing some families restored and all that bickering and all that strife. I mean, every marriage ought to be at its best in Christ. Amen. It ought to be. May we see that happen within our people, within our church, in the generation. Pastor Jackie, I'm so glad you came in the office today and you shared that with me. Because I thought about our children. Maybe she didn't realize it at the moment. But when she told me how they responded when they saw that simple illustration, it touched my heart because I'm like, they got it. They understood it. They understood that Jesus sets them free from those chains. And if we'll just present it to them, they will understand it, right? Oh, we'll have some fun and we'll have some trips and we'll have some activities and we'll always have pizza somewhere around, you know, for these kids to eat on. We'll have the hook out there. But most of all, may we be giving them Jesus because that's what's going to change them. Amen? Amen. As we go into prayer, I'll take you to Psalm 78. Psalm 78, verse number 4. Let the old man get the tear out of his eyes there so I can see. I'm going to blame it on the tears. I kind of keep doing this with my phone and everything. Don't be surprised one day if I look a little bit different up here. All right, okay. Psalm 78, verse 4 says, we will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power, and about his mighty wonders. For he issued his law to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born. And they, in turn, they will teach their children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. Then they will not be like their ancestors, the stubborn ones, the rebellious ones, and the unfaithful ones that refuse to give their hearts to God. They won't be like that. But they're going to be the generation that keeps walking in those wide open places. I don't know about you, but I want the best for my children, amen? I want the best for them. I look at this old world and I'm thinking, Lord, you're either going to come or something's got to break, something's got to give. I want the best for my children. And just as much as I would want to maybe help them save or help them get a good degree or help them be the best at what they want to be in, What kind of parent would I be if I didn't give my children Jesus? If I didn't give them the truth of who God was? I'm grateful for my daughters here tonight. They know who Jesus is. And that's the individual that's going to keep them in wide open places. Amen. May we teach and challenge our children to really know who they are in Christ. I'm ready to declare freedom. I'm ready to speak it. I'm ready to pray it over our lives, over our homes, our families, our children, our church, our communities. I'm ready to really see an outpouring of God's freedom in people's lives. Amen.